You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
So basically, this past week we've been to a faith festival called New Day. It's for 12 to 18 year olds, and it's hosted in Norfolk currently, and it has about 9,000 people come in. Not all of them are Christians, but they just come along, and it's a chance for you to get to know Jesus a lot better. There are seminars, there's fun games to do, it's pretty much anything you can imagine. It's really just a great experience that so many people just learn. Sorry, I just saw some of the pictures on the board there. So you can really just get to know God better. And I mean, some of the people that we went with, Leominster Baptist Church, some of them didn't know God before, and I think two or three of them came to know God that week, which is really amazing. So I'm going to pass over to Tash, who's going to tell you about some of the activities that we do there.
Every day there was morning meetings, which were split into ages 12 to 14 and 15 to 18. And then there were an evening meeting every night, which was everyone together. And there was worship, prayer, and preach. And there were also like loads of seminars, which talked about different things, and you could choose which one you could go wanted to go to. And there was how to human, big issues, real life, and there were people sharing their testimonies, including people from different countries, and some teenagers talked as well, teenagers who had gone to New Day last year or in the past, and they could share about how they experienced God's power. And there were loads of interviews and guest speakers, and there were also loads of activities in the day, like sports and stuff, and so now we're going to talk about the evening meetings and some parts that stood out for us, and just about how they helped to encourage us to live for God completely and sacrifice ourselves and everything for Him, and how to be a young Christian in today's society and to deal with the pressures and to be closer to God and to be firmer in Him. And so on the first preach, we talked about the parable in Matthew 13 verse 44 to 46, which was, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And that was just basically telling us to go out and see. And seek, and sometimes it may cost you a lot, and it might be embarrassing and awkward, but it's going to be worth so much more, especially in the long term, and that we need to take every chance we can get to tell people about God and your faith, and that we alone aren't responsible for changing someone's mind or their faith. Only God can do that, but we have to plant a seed in them and tell them about God, and we can create a chain reaction. So if we tell someone about God, and then it's we're handing on the baton to the next Christian so they can tell them more about God, and it keeps going like that, like a chain reaction, and God's going to do the work through us.
So on the Tuesday, there was this guy talking about, it was really metaphorical really, he was talking about this room, and basically this room, just imagine you have all the food and water you could ever want, so you're just going to live for as long as you want in there. But there's a mirror in the room and there's a window. So in this mirror, that's what he's referring to, it's the Bible. So this mirror, you can look into it and you can see yourself in it and see how you should be acting. So the Bible similarly shows that. And it shows, for example, Ten Commandments, all sorts of stories to show that we shouldn't be repeating the bad stuff and we should be repeating all the good stuff that's happened. And the window in the room is so that we can look out at God, so we can see how he's acting and see how not just we are, but how he is and how other people are acting, so we can sort of base our Christianity off of those who already, I'm not going to say have it unlocked, but people who know a lot better than us, because obviously we're teenagers, we're stupid. So there was one scripture he was talking about, Exodus 32 verse 1, which was talking about how Moses was delaying. I don't know the exact words, I'm just going to paraphrase, but it's talking about how Moses delayed God, like, from destroying the Jews after they had started making, like, all sorts of statues, you know, the golden cow and idols, making idols. So this links into the room by showing that these idols that we can have in our lives often cover up the window to look out at God. So I think he put up a Taylor Swift and a Saka cardboard cutout in front of the window to show that you just can't see through it. Because when we look at all these idols in our lives, it shows that we can't see the true God and the true idol that we should have, which is Jesus. He was constantly saying, none of us really like Taylor Swift there. So it didn't relate as well as he thought it would. But it was really good because he was talking about how if we're craving to be popular like these people, eventually it will come back to bite us. And if you're craving popularity, you'll be let down by rejection. If you're craving money, you'll be let down. And you'll always keep on getting this addiction to be like these people who seem to have a perfect life, but they don't. I mean, Taylor Swift songs are all about, like, really sad stuff. So we see, I want to be like her, but you don't really. She goes through boys like, I don't know what. It's really good because he keeps on telling us about how idolatry breaks God's heart. But he could come down like an Exodus. He could say, oh, I just want to destroy this. I'll restart. But he doesn't. And he looks at us and he just takes, say, imagine every idol we have is just a punch to his face. He keeps on standing. He's like Mike Tyson. He just keeps on standing and he'll keep on taking it, except he never punches back. And he loves us because we're his children. So he keeps on taking it and keeps on looking for us. And he, no matter how far we run away, he'll just keep on finding us. So yeah, that was really good on Tuesday, I think.
So that's a quote that John Owen said, that the greatest burden and unkindness, the greatest sorrow you can lay onto the Lord is to believe that he didn't love you. So that kind of just linked in with that. Then on Wednesday night, they firstly read Isaiah 42 verse 1, which says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. And it just shows that, like, we're chosen servants of God and that the spirit was put in us to bring justice and that we can use that. And Isaiah 42 verse 5 says, this is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. And it just shows that God's the creator of the universe and he's done it all. So, like, he's glorious and he doesn't need our help. Like, he doesn't need us to do anything. He chose us because he wants us. And they gave the example, like, the New Day doesn't need anyone. Like, it doesn't need the preachers to get to God. Like, it doesn't need anyone except Jesus, but he chose us. And to be honest, we're probably making it worse. Like, God could do better without us, but he chose us because he wants us. And, like, we're the risky option, because he could have made robots, which have no free will, or he could have made nothing, which would have been the, like, safe option. But instead he chose to make us, and he gave us free will and emotions, because he wanted us to have a personal relationship with him and to be able to choose him ourselves. because he is merciful, and and Isaiah 42, verse 6 to 9 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. So, is that on the slide? Is it not on there? Oh, well, okay, never mind. Yeah, those are the first two, and then we've done those already, I think. Yeah, that was the one I just read. And they just asked, we have to ask ourselves, does the glory of God feature in our plans? Because if it doesn't, then we need new plans. Because we're here to please God, not the world, and we have to give the glory and praise to God, not ourselves. And every time we do a good thing, it's to represent God, not our own name. And that's hard because, we might want to do our own things and we think it's better. And even though, sometimes we think, we know it's not God's plan, we think it's still okay because it's not a bad thing. It's not going against God's plan. It's just a different thing and it's still good and it's not getting in the way of anything that God's got planned. It's just kind of there. But, if it's not God's plan, even if it's good and it's not right for you, then, that's not what you should be doing. You should, be asking God. But, it's hard, so we've just got to, pray and ask God. Because everything eventually comes to an end except the Church of Jesus Christ, which is eternal. And that's shown in Romans 15, verse 7 to 9 as well. Which I don't know where that is. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs may be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. So, yeah.
Hello. I'm here to do Thursday night meeting. And this meeting really focused on Acts 3, verses 1 to 16, where Peter heals the crippled beggar outside the temple, I think it is. And when Peter heals this guy, the crowd around him, it says, while the beggar held onto Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified this servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. And it was really sad about this. This whole preach was really about living in mystery in our lives. And the first point made about this passage was to lay a firm foundation of understanding. And Peter here shows us the power of faith to... Yeah, shows the power of faith and that God's kingdom is a mystery to everyone except God. You know, why are some people healed but others aren't healed almost? And it's here it says a mysterious tension that some people are healed and some people aren't healed. And And then it goes on to explain that God's peace gives us the way to get through this almost tension that it creates. Because his peace because his peace transcends that understanding that we have of peace. Like, we can't really comprehend it. And then Peter is thus at peace because of the faith that he has in the power of Jesus. And he has the faith that Jesus will heal that man. And the people, obviously, in the crowd, they don't have that faith. And they're surprised that the man is healed. And Peter does kind of give them a thrashing for that. So it goes on then to talk about, in the preach, that we need to grow in faith and expectation of what Jesus will do every day. And always to fight that fear of like, oh, what if, oh, I'm being judged, you know? To fight that fear and walk through almost a door of opportunity of what God is trying to do with our lives. And just to be obedient to him, because even though we don't know what's going on, God always knows what's going on. So that mystery, we need to live in it and accept it, because that's just what God is. Like, God's never going to explain to us everything ever, you know? So we need to really just accept that. Also on that evening, Thursday evening, there was a healing section as well, where we prayed and we worshipped, and I'm going to be honest, the Holy Spirit was in that place, you know? And we found out the next day on Friday that in that meeting, 400 people were healed. It was genuinely a beautiful thing to see, because you hear about it in the scriptures, and it's no fault of CLC, but you don't see it as often as we should, yeah, for sure. As we want, yeah. So that was just something that really touched me as well. Like, that really strengthened my faith while I was there. Yeah, so that was really brilliant. That was one of my favorite parts of the entire experience, I'm going to be honest. And just seeing basically thousands of people give their life to Jesus, you know, every meeting, there was more and more and more people. It was fantastic. Sorry, I'm going to hand over to Jonah.
Yeah, so on the Friday night, there was this amazing speaker. His name was TJ. He basically had this title, and you've got to stick me with on this one because it's a bit grim, but it's called A Call to Die. So, I know, sounds bad, but it's basically the idea that the bar of Christianity is being lowered a lot. So it's like, oh, I can go to church on a Sunday, that's it. Oh, I can give however much money and I'm a Christian, but that's not it. Because there are actually steps that he was giving us on there about how we should be not dying, but parts of us should be dying in order to get closer to God. So part number one was dying to our agenda. So Matthew 16, verse 24 to 26, if you could, I mean, don't go to your Bible in that, because I've got quite a few that are going to go through. But there we are. Okay, so here it is saying, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? So that's just saying worldly possessions, guys. I know I want a Lamborghini. I want nice stuff. But it's the idea that we've got to die to ourselves and our agenda. So say we want to be a footballer or want to be an actor or a singer when we're older. If that's not for God, and if that's not 100% what God wants, then we've got to realize that's not going to happen, guys. Like, we can try, but ultimately it will fail. Like it said on Tuesday, if you search for all of this stuff, then it will fail if God doesn't want it to happen, and if it's something that you're just doing for yourself. So then we're going on to point number two. Sorry, I'm a bit of a mess. I'm never organized. But point number two was dying to the world. So that's linking to Ephesians 2, verse 10, which is basically just saying, for we are God's handwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works God prepared in advance for us to do. So it's saying a bit similar to the agenda, but you can't be of this world, because, I mean, if you look outside, you look on the news, we're a mess right now. And if we think, oh, I want to be like the world, then that's just going to turn us into monsters, ultimately. Because God's created the world perfectly. We mess that up. So if he wanted us to be part of the world, it would be looking a lot better right now. So I think it's the idea that we can be alive, be helpful to others, be kind to others, maybe every now and then think about getting a Lamborghini or something like that. I hope so. But it's the idea that we should only be concerned about God's gift that he's given us, because they're amazing. Like, everything that he's done, even if it seems small, it will be used at some point in your life, because like our idea of what's important and unimportant is so messed up that it could literally be buying a person a cup of coffee. And the fact that you had that, I don't know how much coffee costs nowadays because it's expensive, but it's like you could buy someone a cup of coffee and you never know, you could stop that person from doing horrible things themselves because they realize that they're loved. So any gift that you have, just is encouraging all of us, not just the youth, to use it, because you never know how it would affect other people. And then point number three, die to the idea of self-rescue. That was like a real kick up the backside for me, because I've always thought throughout my life that, oh, I can do this, and then as long as I do more good stuff than bad stuff, I'll go to heaven. But that's just not how it works, is it? Because Jesus paid that price for us, so it doesn't matter if we keep on going, oh, I did this, I did this. Just quick show of hands, if anybody wants to answer this question. If we go up to God and he says, why should I let you in? What would your answer be? Just, yes, sir. Exactly. Thank you so much. I was hoping that other people would be like, oh, because I did this, that, or the other. But that actually made this a lot shorter, so well done, guys. So it's Jesus. He died for us. And as long as we have faith in God, and as long as we're constantly trying our best, because we're going to make mistakes. Like, we're awful people sometimes. You look out in the world and you think, I know I'm terrible sometimes, like to my parents, like, bro, it's bad. And we've got to realize that we can just, sorry, Dad. Thank you. We have a really good family. I just want to clarify that. There's nothing going on there. It's great. It's just the idea that we've got to realize that we can't save ourselves and that Jesus saved us. So as long as we're constantly thinking, oh, I can do this, we're undermining God there. We're saying, oh, I can get myself to heaven. No, you can't. That place is amazing. It's called heaven, for crying out loud. It's perfect. So it's like, in the end, it's just saying laying down our lives for Jesus. And I think, I can't find that one. But basically, there's a passage that's saying about how those who follow Jesus, if they only follow him for this life, then we should be pitied most of all. And I was looking at that thinking, great, so I'm going to get pitied by everyone if God's not real. But it's the idea that we have faith, because it's showing that we need to sacrifice everything to truly follow God. Because the more we keep on thinking, oh, I'll do this on a Sunday, I'll do this, like I'll give this offering once a month, the more we think we can just get by doing the bare minimum, that's not what he wants. He wants us to truly devote our lives to him. And if it means giving up everything you own, giving up the clothes on your back, giving up that Lamborghini you always dreamed of, it could be that is what will get us into heaven, and that will build God's kingdom on earth. So, yeah, thank you, guys. Has anyone got anything to say, like the experiences? Okay. So there was an experience, this is kind of unrelated to it, that I had on the Wednesday of the preaching. Yeah, we had water fights there, they were great. But there was an experience I had on the Wednesday, I just wanted to share it with you guys, because on that Wednesday night, there was, as Tash said, the guy talking, and he was saying, if they feel like they've strayed, come kneel down on the ground and put your arms out. And I did that, because I'm not sure how many people in here have felt the Holy Spirit truly work in them, but I haven't until that Wednesday. And I've always been, you know, really, really trying to call on God. And I realize that's wrong, because he does it in his own time. So I was kneeling down, just doing the regular thing, oh, please God, work in me, please God, work in me. and it felt different, then everything started spinning in the room. Like, really, I thought I was dying, because everything was spinning properly. I was shaking. My eyes were twitching all over the place. And I started crying, which I haven't done in a very, very long time. And now I've been crying all week. But it's like, I really felt, it was grotty, man. It was not your stereotypical one tear going down your face. It was everything. It was streams. So I felt this power really speaking through me. And a friend we met here in bottom left, you'll see the guy with the vest up on, Praise. He was standing next to us. Basically, he had the exact same thing as me. We were both crying, me more than him, which I'm a bit annoyed about, but we were both crying, and we both felt really, because the past year, 2 years of our life haven't been godly as such. We sort of strayed from the idea of thinking, oh, Holy Spirit only talks to other people, it won't happen to me. And then to see these two guys, teenage guys who, you know, the stigma, don't cry in front of your friends and stuff like that, just break down. It was the idea that we both suddenly knew everything that each other had been through without even talking to each other. So that was really amazing. And we stayed on for a bit afterwards, prayed for each other. And it was fantastic to know that it wasn't fake, because this lady at the end went up onto the stage and said, I want to pray for young men. Which, admittedly, she had a 50-50 chance. Like, it's not like, oh, wow, it's amazing. But she was saying, I really feel like those who are straight and those who are, because they're teenagers, they, like, feel all the pressures to do stuff that others should do. They just want to come back. And that really worked in quite a few of us there, because you were looking around. I was seeing guys lying on the ground, just passed out, but with smiles on their faces. I was seeing guys breaking down in corners. I was seeing, like, 11-year-olds going up to praying just for adults, which I think is fantastic, because we need to do more of that. But it was fantastic just to see that this stuff can happen even to kids, because I know we're sort of seen as the people who need to learn, but I think it's time for everybody to start realizing that we can offer equal amounts no matter what our age is. So, thank you guys. So, anything else?